Blog Talk Radio.
He's able to keep us. He's able to declare that we're blameless before his throne. Hallelujah. There's none like him. None like him. And we love him this morning. He's on our side in spite of us, yet looking beyond our fault and yet meeting our needs. And so we're grateful this morning unto him, thankful unto him. Today we'll be taking a listen to Bishop G.E. Patterson. And we're thankful for the message that God blessed us to have him to leave behind. He's gone on with the Lord, but we were blessed to have him to bring this message forth. And so today his message is after the resurrection. And then we have another message by Dr. Charles Stanley, the message of the resurrection. And so we're grateful for these messages because we want to be reminded daily, not sometime, but we want to be reminded daily of what he has done for us. Great and mighty thing. Oh, yeah, he has done for us. And we're thankful unto the Lord for it. So listen, this morning we're going to one more song of the morning. And after this song, we'll be coming back with our morning prayer. Yeah. And so we're grateful that not only God hears us, but he answers. I was thinking yesterday, he was showing me yesterday where prayer I prayed, he answered it. Yeah, he did. And so I'm thankful, hallelujah, that he hears and answers prayers. Ah, yeah. And so we're thankful unto him. So let's go to this next song.
Robert and Paul, I want you to do something for me. This song was wrote by Reverend James Cleveland and Casella George in memories of Casella George. I want y'all to sing this song, Walk Around Heaven All Day. And Robert, don't let Paul sing it all. You hear me? You know what I want you to do? Sing, Paul.
One of these mornings.
Sing, Paul.
It won't be long. You'll look for me, and I'll be gone. No.
Thank you.
I'm going to a place I'll have nothing to do but just walk around.
Take your time.
I'm singing shy. Nobody will be able to hold on. Put me on. No. My mother will be waiting. And my father too. Will join hands.
About your time.
Oh,
come here, Robert. Come here, Robert. Come here, Robert. Say, Robert.
Oh,
Thank you,
Paul. Yes, I will. Yes, I will.
Thank you, Paul.
Not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Mr. Willie Neal Johnson. And I think that's the mighty clouds of joy and walk around heaven all day. Hallelujah. That boy Paul had a high-pitched voice. Ooh, we thank God for good gospel music this morning, and we're going and pray. We'll have prayer, and after prayer, we're coming back to do some encouraging, and then we'll go in with our message of Bishop G.E. Patterson. Yeah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It's nothing like talking about that resurrection, because Christ rose from the dead, and this happened many, many years ago. But because he did that, because he obeyed God, we have a right today to serve him. We have a right to praise him. We have a right to pray. We have a right to faith. We have a right to trust him. Yeah, he rose, and he rose with all power. And all power is on our side today, in spite of us. Hallelujah. We can look and see that he looks beyond our faults, because we haven't always did right before him. Yet he keep us safe and sound, keep us from all hurt, harm, or danger. Yeah, things come our way, but it don't destroy us completely. We yet going on in Jesus' name. And so we're thankful this morning unto him. Let's have prayer. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. Father, we thank you for all you've done for us already. We thank you for what you're doing right now. And Father, we thank you for what you're going to do. Great and mighty things for us. It was you who woke us up this morning, closing our right minds. We thank you for the use and activity of our limbs. We thank you for life, health, and strength. And Father, we speak health to these old bodies. We speak health to our minds. We speak health to our hearts this morning in the name of Jesus. And Father, we're grateful unto you, and we appreciate you this day, for there's none like you, none who love us in the way that you love us. You so loved us, you sent your only begotten son, yeah, to suffer, to bleed, to hang, to die, to conquer all and rise with all power. And Father, we want to be mindful of the things that he did for us. We want to be mindful that he gets the glory, he gets the honor and the praise in all things, and that we worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not about us today. It's all about your will being done in our lives. Help us to draw closer to you. Father, help us to draw so close until we can see the nail prints in your hands and your feet. And we're reminded that you're more than worthy of whatever we can give you, because we can't give you enough for all you have done for us. Oh, we thank you this morning. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. Glory to his majesty. Oh, we thank you. We thank you for all you've done. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. We can't thank you enough. And we come this morning bringing every caller and every listener. And Father, we ask that you would bless every household represented here. Touch those that are sick, family members, friends, near and far. Lord, those that are lost have not received you as their Lord and Savior. As we lift you up this morning, Father, we ask that you would draw them unto you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you this morning, hallelujah, for your drawing power. Father, we come bringing those that are sick here this morning. And God, we ask that you would touch and heal. Lord, those that are struggling to lose weight, those that are struggling, God, to stay on the right path of healing, we ask that you would give us a heart and a mind. Give us the energy to do it, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we bind up every gluttonous spirit in the name of Jesus. And every gluttonous spirit that's coming our way, we bind it up and cast it to the pits of hell in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And God, we ask that where we speak this, we replace it with eating healthy and eating the right portions. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And Father, we ask that you would rebuke that devourer for our sake. And Lord, give us a mind to remember that you're able. All we got to do is believe and put forth the effort. And Lord, it's already done in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Father, we bring those that are incarcerated, those that are in every branch of the military. Father, we bring widowers and bereaved families, our administration of our military. We bring, Father, those that are praying for others, intercessory prayer people, your preachers everywhere, oh God. We pray this morning that your word will go forth in the world and that many will hear and ask, what must I do to be saved this day or in the name of Jesus? Father, we bring widowers and bereaved families, again, intercessory prayer people, preachers, Israel, Jerusalem, America, and the leadership of America, our brothers and sisters overseas, everywhere. Lord, we ask today that you would do it for them. Do it for them in the name of Jesus. Do it for us today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you would remember the people in Hollywood. God, we ask that you would stir it up. Destroy the evil there. Lord, move by your spirit to save your people in the name of Jesus. Thank you this morning. And Father, this eclipse thing that they're talking about, Lord, I don't know about it, but you know all about it. You know what you're doing. And Father, we trust you. We thank you. We're depending on you. When we hear these things, we don't get afraid, but we trust you the more because your word has already spoken. Hallelujah. All we have to do is believe. And so we believe your report this morning because your report says we're healed, we are filled, and we have the victory. And we're thankful unto you. Hallelujah. For without you, Father, we can do nothing. Lead and guide us this day in the right path for your name's sake. And Lord, give us an eye to see your leadership. Give us an ear to hear which way to go in the name of Jesus. And Lord, help us today. Help us to be your people. Help us to come out of darkness into your light. But Father, the light shine in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Many hear your word going forth, but God, they lean to their own understanding. And Father, they still walk in their own way. But Lord, have mercy upon us all this morning. And God, we're not talking about others, and we're not putting others down. But Lord, we're talking about all of us. Hallelujah. We need you today. And Father, we want to repent this morning. We want to ask you to forgive us for all our sins and wrongdoings, our wrong thoughts, our wrong speakings, our wrong feelings. And Father, though our sins be as scarlet, we ask that you would wash us as white as snow. Cleanse us this morning from all unrighteousness and give us a clean heart, oh God, and renew the right spirit within us this day. that, Lord, we'll walk upright before you. We'll do that which is pleasing and acceptable unto you. And, Father, we ask it all today in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. We thank you for forgiving us. We thank you for making us right in you. Father, we thank you for going the last mile of the way with us. For you'll never leave us nor forsake us. You will be with us until the end. And Father, help us today that these things that we repented of, when it comes back around, Father, it won't find us in the same place. Lord, forgive us for gossiping, any unforgiveness, any lying, any cheating, any stealing. God, forgive us this morning and help us to remember these things are against you. We ask it all again in Jesus' name. Bless the segment of Jesus in the morning. Feed us today until we want no more. Have your way right here this morning, oh God. Do what it is you want to do here. These are your people. We belong to you. Move today, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Bless those that are standing in need of finances. Lord, you know the bills need to be paid up. Whatever it is that they're struggling with. And God, some people just want a few things and they can't afford it. But God, we know that you're able to make ways where we see no ways. Open doors we didn't even know were shut. Do it today for your people in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. And Father, today we worship you in spirit and in truth. Oh, we thank you right now. And again, we ask it all. In Jesus' name, amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning. We give reverence unto you. Oh, we love you today. It was you who first loved us. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. For your grace and your mercy. Most of all, your love for us. We thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we thank you. We thank you today. Hallelujah. There is none like him. We can search all over. We won't find nobody. Nobody greater than Almighty God who have all the power. Yes, a little cool here. We had the air on last night, and I like to sleep in cold. I don't know, but it makes me sleep better. And so this morning, it's a little chilly in the house. So Tay going to turn on some heat. And it's already all right. And I'm having some morning coffee. And that's nice and hot, so I should warm up quickly. Yeah. But we're moving on this morning in Jesus' name. And again, today we have Bishop G.E. Patterson. And he's going to bring forth a message for us today. And it's amazing that all of this was recorded and he went on to glory. He went on and the Lord allowed the messages to be left that any day we choose, we can go in and take a listen to the word of God. And it wasn't just for that time, but it's for any time that we can get a message from heaven. And so we're thankful unto him. All of the recordings that I do here, I think one day somebody will come back and listen. I may be dead and gone, but somebody are sleeping and gone. And somebody come by to take a listen. And it just amazes me how God do things. And I'm on social media, Facebook and all of that, but it's not for my own personal gain. It's to spread the good news of Jesus. Yeah. And I have several groups, Big Beautiful Christian Women, Jesus in the Morning, the U group, Y-O-U. Yeah, capital Y, the big Y, the big O, and the big U. I have that group. Encouragement Power, I think it's called. Several groups on Facebook. And it's to put stuff in there that will encourage people. Over on the U group, that's for anybody. So we put things over there that's funny, but yet we put things over there that's real in God. And I try not to post foolishness, but what I try to post is encouraging things. And I post that, and not everything is about God giving us this and God giving us that. I post things that God has given us spiritual things because this would count the most, because he's a spiritual God. Foolishness, I don't have time. Who's fighting? Who's this? Who's that? I don't have time for all of that. But I do have time to share his wondrous works and make known his deeds among the people. There's a powerful piece over there, and the man is talking about America. And he's talking about what America is going through and how it's shaken and what God did for America, but America turns it back. It's back on God. Took the prayer out of school, and you can't pray. You can't talk about God on the job, and so many things. But yet God is faithful. And if we'll draw now to him, he will draw right now to us. Yeah. I think this man is calling himself a rabbi, but it looked like his name is well, that may be the person who posted it. But anyway, he's talking about some good stuff and some things that we really and truly need to pay attention to, that many may ignore it. But in the end, when it's too late, you ignored it, and now you need it. Yeah. Yeah. So we want God to move for us. Yeah. We want him to move for us in a mighty way, and we want him to keep our hearts and minds straight with him so that we don't end up where we don't want to be. Because, see, we used to him. We used to peace. We used to guidance. We used to that which is good. And so we don't want no part of hell. We don't want no part of evil. Yeah. So we thank God this morning. We thank God that he made a way. Yeah, out of no way for us. Hallelujah. So we tell him thank you, and we keep moving in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today, our prayer is that, Lord, we remember you daily, and that we keep our mind on you, and we do what's pleasing and acceptable unto you. We're casting our cares upon you every day, for you care it for us. We're walking in the spirit, that we don't fulfill the lust of our flesh. And Lord, anytime we get off course, we ask that you would bring us back. Anytime we are headed over to that wide road that leads to destruction, Father, bring us back to the narrow road that leads to you. Keep our mind focused on you. And you know, people say, well, they old, that's why they doing all of that. Now, I was working on these things before I got this old. Now, I was older. I was in my early 30s. Before I completely came to God. Oh, I went to church. Was there every Sunday, every Wednesday Bible study, Tuesday night prayer meeting. I did all of these things. But yet I had a form of godliness, and I was denying the power thereof. I would honor God with my lips, but my heart was far from it. And how I know these things are true is because of the evidence. See, you look for fruit in yourself. What fruit are you bearing? And back during those days, I was not bearing the fruit of God, the fruit of the Spirit. I was bearing the fruit of Barbara, money making, fornicating, lying, cheating, and stealing, old Barbara. That was my fruit. But I learned, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Now, let me tell you something. People won't believe it. No, they don't believe you made no changes now. I'm talking about preachers and pastors. They still don't believe you made no changes. And then they're holding some things against you that you did in your past. But the scripture said this. I didn't say it. The scripture said they brought the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. And they was getting ready to stone her because they said when you catch them in the act of adultery, you stone them, you kill them. They brought her to Jesus. And they explained what the woman had done. He wrote in the sand. And they asked him what was his thought on it, what was his take on it, what would he do about it, what should be done about it. He said the first one without sin cast the first stone. Lord have mercy. Well, they started dropping the bricks and walking away. When the last one was gone, he said, woman, where are thy accusers? She looked around. They gone. There is none. He said, and I don't accuse you either, but go and sin no more. And that's the way I felt when he saved me. Go, Barbara, but sin no more. Go and stay away from men that you're not married to. Stay away from the dope game. Stay away from them that's selling dope. Stay away from them that's clubbing. Stay away from them that's getting drunk. Stay away from them that's smoking weed. Stay away. And don't you do it no more. God is faithful to us. He rose with all power. The power that saves you. He rose with the power that keeps us. Yeah, keep us with him. Keep us from doing wrong. The same power that rose him from the dead should raise up in us that when we speak, action take place. Things happen. I had been praying about some things. When I tell you yesterday, I saw the prayer answer. All I could say is thank you, Jesus. I'm no better than nobody else. I have trials like anybody else, but they only come to make me strong. And you know, sometimes people that's doing you wrong, you thinking they care about you and they thinking a whole nother way. They're your enemies, really. They really are against you, but in your face, they trying to show you where they for you. But behind your back, they got the big dagger, the big knife to put in your back. And you go on because you full of love. But every now and then, God will show you. Mm-mm, don't trust them. And a lot of times, the proof is in the pudding. If you're paying attention, you'll get to see. You'll get to see people, all they want is what you can give them. But we pray for them that despitefully use us. We pray for our enemies. We got to love them anyway. But because we love them, we don't have to associate with them every day. I can feed you with what they call back in the day a long-handled spoon. If you need something, then I can be a blessing, okay. But hanging out and trusting you and believing in you for me, no, we're not going to do that. What the world says, that's what we're not going to do. What we're not going to do. Yeah. But God loves us. He's faithful to us. And if we'll stay focused, we'll get to see his blessings, his miracles. I heard, I think it's Miles Monroe. And I said to myself, Lord, a lot of these people, they don't understand. He said, Christians are the laziest people. He said, when we pray for money, God will give us a job or give us an idea of how to make some money. Like God can give you money. He gave me money. He give it to me. He'll lay me on somebody's heart and they'll give me some money. And if he can't find somebody who's willing to bless me, he'll put it on the ground. I'm not telling you what they told me. I'm telling you what I know. And see, a lot of these people talking and it's not from experience. And then some of them are talking from experience because they don't truly believe. That's why he haven't been able to do it for them because they don't believe he will. Mm-hmm. You will get what you believe. And then today, Shante said, Mama, don't speak that. You have to be careful even what you speak. Because you're going to have that which you speak. If you want the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy, keep speaking it. Keep saying this. Soon I'm going to have me a house. And believe it. Watch what happens. Soon I'm going to get me a new car. And I don't want to make the payments on it. God going to make sure it's paid for when I get it. Insurance paid for years. All the maintenance on it needs to be done. He going to pay for everything. Keep speaking it. Tell people. Some people say, oh, she lying. No, I'm speaking by faith, honey. I ain't lying. Mm-hmm. I believe this is what's going to take place. Oh, I'm going to be healed. Yeah, I wasn't always this big. I want to get down to 150 pounds. Oh, I'm going to get there. I'm getting there. Keep speaking it. You might be eating a whole bag of sneakers, but you keep speaking that and watch what happens. Pray and ask God to change your mind about food. Don't let you be a gluttonous. This, that, and the other. Sometimes he have to remind us of things because we running on up the road and we've forgotten some things that he's able to do for us. Yeah, but Christians are not lazy. We're trusted. We're full of faith. The scripture said, and the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Somebody lazy. I'm not going to do what God can do for me. I'm not going to stress myself out when I can ask him and he's able to do it. Because without him, we can do nothing. Mm-hmm. Folks depend on jobs and all this stuff, but they're going to soon get to see who you really need to depend on. And it's not a job. It's not money. But it is Almighty God that have all the power. And we're thankful unto him. And I take no thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow going to take care of itself. I'm living the day. I want the day to be provided for. And when tomorrow comes, tomorrow, God will provide for tomorrow. But one day at a time. And I'm not running this race fast. But I'm running in the race. And the goal is to get to the end. And not how fast I get to the end. Not how strong I am going to the end. But to finish the race. And he's able to see me through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We give you glory. Oh, it's you and not us today. Hallelujah. Bless your people. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so we're truly grateful unto him. This morning I'm playing a couple of songs before we go to the message. Because I need to get these in. And, you know, because some days I play these and these and these and these, but I don't get to the other ones. Yeah, so I want to get to them all. We're going to this song, and when we come back, we're coming back with Dr. Charles Stanley and his message of the resurrection. And so, yeah, we want to get this done this morning. Yeah, the message of the resurrection, and then we're going with Bishop G.E. Patterson. Now I got to go back and find the song, y'all. I just saw it. And get that one done this morning. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. All right, here we go.
So this song says this.
I don't know how God's gonna do it. And I don't know when it's gonna
be. Come on, come on.
You can help me sing
victory. how he's gonna do it.
What
do you want? He never tells me just how he's gonna
fix it. Come on, come on.
Hear the Lord.
Dr. Charles Stanley, the message of the resurrection.
The Field Guide to God's Presence is a tool you can use to go deeper with God.
Order your free field guide today.
With Dr. Charles Stanley, reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ through sound biblical teaching. Next on In Touch, the message of the resurrection.
When we began the ministry in Russia, I wanted to be sure to go there and be sure we started it right and made all the preparation necessary. And one of the things I wanted to do was to go to Red Square and visit Lenin's tomb, because I had been there about 30 years before, and the lines were so long, they said it would be about a two-hour wait before I could get in, so I walked away and thought, well, maybe one of these days. This time, there were no lines. I walked in between a number of guards, and there was a sign that said, no talking. I stood there gazing upon the lifeless corpse of a man, encased airtight in a glass covering, and stood there for a few moments and felt the despair, the gloom, and thought to myself, here lies the lifeless corpse of a man who did not believe in God, who caused a bloody revolution, who put his whole nation in bondage, who caused bloodshed and death all across the world, and who left his followers with a shattered dream. And worse than that, he left them with absolutely no hope of life beyond this one. I walked out of that place and stood there and turned around and thought for a few moments about another tomb I'd been in. This one, the crowds were still there. And I waited till everyone was gone late that afternoon, and I walked into this tomb, not to look for a lifeless corpse, because I knew he wasn't there. I knew that I was walking into a tomb that was absolutely empty, and that's why I'd come. I thought to myself, what a difference in these two tombs. One of them is still filled and having to be guarded. A lifeless corpse. The other one is pure stone. No body, no guards, no signs to keep me quiet. What an awesome difference in these two tombs, in these two men. One of them is a message of gloom and despair and failure. The other is a message of hope and assurance and absolute eternal success. Which message had you rather hear? Which message had you rather believe? For me, I'll choose the message in the second tomb, the one in Jerusalem, the tomb of the Son of God. And I want you to turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 24, and let's read what happened, how he got placed there, and how he didn't stay there very long at all. 24th chapter of Luke, first verse. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they had entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened that while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling apparel. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again? And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. My friend, the best news the world could possibly hear is found in verse 6. He is not here, but he has risen. This is the greatest news the world has ever heard, because you see, if that were not true, you and I would have absolutely no hope and assurance of life after this one. What I'd like to do in this message is simply explain to you what is the real message of the resurrection. It isn't simply the fact that Jesus died on the cross and somebody placed him in their tomb and sealed it up and Romans that were there to guard it. And simply the fact that the rock, the stone was rolled away and suddenly his body was not there. That is the event. These are the things that took place. But what is the message of the resurrection? So whether you're a believer or not, I want you to listen carefully. The first thing that I understand about the message of the resurrection is this, that our Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is our Savior and our Lord and our Master, the Son of God is alive. He is not dead. You'll recall that he told his disciples in that 16th chapter of Matthew, one of the first times he began to explain to them about the fact that he was going to have to die, here's what he said to them. From that time, Jesus Christ began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. And you'll recall that was so obnoxious to them that Peter rebuked him. And then also in the 17th chapter, following the Mount of Transfiguration experience, the scripture says in verse 22, and while they were gathering together in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day, and they were deeply grieved. So what you find is all through the Gospels, you find one reference after the other of Jesus telling his disciples, I'm going to have to die, but I'm not going to stay dead. I'm going to rise from the dead. And that is exactly what happened, because on that morning when they came to prepare for his body or to add the spices, they didn't think it was properly done because it was done so quickly. He wasn't there. And my friend, the world needs to hear the truth that the God whom you and I serve, the living God, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is not buried in a tomb. He is not here. It is his absence, not his presence, but his absence that causes us to rejoice. Now somebody says, well, then where is he? Where is he if he's not there? I'll tell you where he is. The Bible is very clear about where he is. So if you'll turn to Hebrews chapter 10 for a moment. Let's look at this passage, Hebrews chapter 10. The Bible tells us everything you and I need to know. And so somebody says, well, where is the Lord Jesus Christ? Where is the Son of God? If he rose from the dead, then where is he? And the scripture says in chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 12, but he, having suffered one sacrifice, that is his life, for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. Our resurrected Christ is seated at the Father's right hand. That's where he is. And what is he doing? Well, the scripture tells us exactly what he's doing, because it tells us in the 7th chapter of Hebrews, verse 25, hence also he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for us. Where is he? Is at the Father's right hand. What is he doing? Making intercession for us. Well, what is he doing besides interceding and sitting as our advocate? The Bible says in chapter 14 of John, if you want to turn there for a moment, here's something else he's doing. He said to his disciples in this 14th chapter, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'm coming again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What is he doing? Seated at the Father's right hand, interceding for us, acting as our advocate, like our attorney before the Father, and at the same time, he is preparing heaven for us, and he is doing that until he is finished. And the next thing and the last thing I would say is simply this, and that is he's waiting for the Father's plan to be complete, and then he's coming back for all of us who are his children. So where is he? Seated at the Father's right hand. But there's another place that he is, and that is he is not only seated at the Father's right hand, but he is living on the inside of every single child of God in the presence of the Holy Spirit, who sealed us and indwelt us the moment we received him as our Savior. Turn to the 15th chapter of John to the most graphic picture that Jesus could possibly have painted for us and painted for his disciples to remind us forever that he is with us, and also to tell us and to explain to us the intimate relationship that he has with every single one of his children. You recall that he says in this first verse of John 15, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. He's the one who takes care of it. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it that it may bring forth more fruit. You're already clean because of the words which I've spoken to you. Now watch verse 4 and 5. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you, that is, bear fruit unless you abide in me. Watch this. I am the vine, you're the branches. He who is abiding in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. What is he saying? Simply this. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the risen Lord. One of the first message, the basic bottom line message of the resurrection is this, that Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, is alive, seated at the Father's right hand, making intercession for us, serving as our advocate, preparing heaven for us, and at the same time, living on the inside of every single one of those of us who have trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We can say in the very beginning, the message of the resurrection is, our Christ is indeed very much alive and eternally alive. The second message of the resurrection is this, that our sins have been forgiven and we are absolutely eternally secure in him. If you recall, he says he came to give his life a ransom for many. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in this very first chapter, Paul talks about how we have been chosen in Christ, and then he says in verse 7, in him, that is in Christ Jesus, we have redemption. That is, his death purchased our salvation. Through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. You recall also in 1 Peter chapter 1, when he is describing what Jesus has done for us, here's what he says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and beginning in verse 18. Knowing that you and I were not redeemed or saved with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. What is the message of the resurrection? Message of the resurrection is that our sins have been forgiven. The message of the resurrection is that you and I are eternally secure in him. But is that all the message of the resurrection? No, it's not. Because we too are going to experience a bodily resurrection. So I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Let's look at this for a moment. And I want us to look at these verses. 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus called this resurrection a resurrection unto life. And so in this 15th chapter, he gives us some things here that I want us to notice. We also are going to experience a bodily resurrection. Now, when is that going to happen? Here's what he tells us in verse 23 of chapter 15. He says, but each in his own order, Christ, the first fruits, after that, those who are Christ at his coming. Here's what he's saying. The first person to be resurrected from the dead and to live forever is the Lord Jesus Christ. Those whom Jesus Christ raised from the dead in his day died. So they died. But Jesus Christ is the one who raised from the dead and lives forever. And so the message here is this, that all of us who are his children, we too are going to have a bodily resurrection. With all that in mind, this takes on a little different meaning now. John chapter 6. What did we read? He said in verse 37 that the Father, he says, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he's given me, listen to this now. He says, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. He says, I lose nothing. He says, in a twinkling of an eye, these bodies are going to be resurrected. Listen, fashioned like unto the body of the Son of God. His body was absolutely, totally glorified. When you and I, listen, when we leave this earth and this body leaves this earth, these bodies are going to leave this earth perfectly transformed, absolutely in the glory of the Son of God himself. That's the message of the resurrection. Man, listen, he says, I'm not going to lose anything, but raise it up on the last day. This is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son, believes in him, may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. He's speaking of the body, because we'll already be with him. Raise him up on the last day. Raise up these bodies, but I'm not going to lose anything. Bodies will be transformed, just like he said. What's the message of the resurrection? Every single one of us who knows Christ as our Savior, we too are going to experience a resurrection. Now, not only that, but heaven is going to be our eternal home. The message of the resurrection is that heaven is our home. Because Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I'm coming again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, if we had time, we could talk a lot of things about what the Bible says about heaven. But you see, the most important thing about heaven is not what the streets are made of and whether they're going to be castles or whether they're going to be something else. That's not even the issue. The issue is this. The issue is that God's there. The throne of God's there. Jesus is there. The issue is that we're going to be there. We're going to be serving him, worshiping him, praising him, living with him, and living with our love. Listen. All that Almighty God has provided for us, listen, you and I can believe it because Christ rose from the dead, which validates everything he said. If he had not risen from the dead, we'd say, well, you know, Other people have made all kind of promises, and we can look in their Bibles and see all of these things, but how do we know? Listen, the fact that he rose from the dead, listen, that's proof. Listen, because that's the final test. That is the ultimate proof that he's the Son of God, the ultimate proof that he's divine, the ultimate proof of his promises to be true. And he says that he's provided a heaven for us, and that's where every single person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life is going to spend eternity. But I want to tell you something else about the resurrection. A wonderful, wonderful truth about the resurrection, and that's this. That you and I, listen, we have the promise that we're going to meet our loved ones there. And we're going to know them. Where do you get that? Well, in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, for example, he says, we're going to know even as we are known. When he said in 1 Thessalonians that when Jesus Christ comes, listen, he's bringing those who have passed on before our loved ones with him, then we too shall be caught up together. And he says, to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He didn't have to say that. Now, why would he say we're going to meet them in the air if we weren't going to know them? And the truth is, it wouldn't be heaven if they were all faceless creatures. We're going to know each other. We're going to have some kind of relationship that I don't think anybody can fully understand. But it will be a wonderful relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We'll have an absolute perfect relationship with one another. That relationship is going to be to such a degree of intimacy and such a degree of pure holiness that you and I couldn't possibly understand on this earth, contained in these physical bodies with our emotions and our sinfulness, how you could relate to someone so absolutely in such a heavenly fashion. Well, that is exactly what's going to happen. We're going to know each other. We shall know even as we are known. And we absolutely shall be, no doubt and unquestionably, perfectly known in heaven. Well, there's just one other message of the resurrection I want to share. That's this. When I look at this chapter and I see the events that took place and all about the tomb and all of these things and the spices and all the rest, and this is where people get hung up usually. That's not the message of the resurrection. That's the event of the resurrection. The message of it is this. The message of the resurrection is because Jesus Christ rose from the dead and is living on the inside of every single one of us who is his children, we can face all the tomorrows with confidence and assurance and perfect peace. That no matter what we have to face, we will be victorious. We will, because this earth is full of strife and stress and strains and violence and harm and hurt and shame, and because it is full of sorrow and pain, and because our valleys are oftentimes very long and very deep, and because our pathway oftentimes is full of pain and hurt and disappointments and discouragements, the message of the resurrection is this. You and I don't walk through a single valley. We don't walk through along any pathway of life, no matter how hurtful and how painful, without the presence of the Son of God to enable us, strengthen us, help us, guard us, guide us, empower us, and cheer us on our way. That this life is not what it's all about. This is just part of the journey. And at some point out there, when this journey is ended, the Son of God who rose from the dead, who made us all these wondrous promises, is going to be standing there waiting for us to fulfill his last awesome promise. I will come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. If you're willing to pray a simple prayer and mean it with all of your heart, your eternal destiny can be changed in less than 60 seconds. Your name will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life within the next minute. And if that's what you want, would you pray this prayer to Almighty God? Heavenly Father, I do believe the testimony of Scripture that Jesus Christ is your eternal Son. I believe He went to the cross and died for my sins. I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I need your forgiveness. I'm asking you to save me. I'm trusting you to do it right now. I accept the forgiveness of my sins. I accept your gift of salvation. I accept you as my personal Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, your name is written never to be erased in the Lamb's Book of Life. And God has a place for you in heaven.
Amen. Amen. What a wonderful message. Yeah, I like all that kind of carrying on right there. Yeah, He did it for us. And I think about my loved ones. I think about my mom, my dad, my sister, my cousins, you know, different ones that has gone on. I think about the senior bishop and different ones I hope to meet there. Hallelujah. Hope and pray they made it in. Yeah, they got it right before they left here. And the things that they did not cause them to spend eternity somewhere else and not heaven, hell. Yeah, we want to spend eternity with Him, and He's in heaven. Hallelujah. God, Jehovah, hallelujah. And His Son, Jesus Christ, sitting on the right hand of the Father. He said it. He went away to prepare a place for us, that where He is, we may be also. Yeah, but one day He was coming back to get us, and that's what we're waiting on. We're working and preparing ourselves to go with Him. Yeah, because we don't know when He's returning, but we do know He's coming back. Hallelujah. That's good news right there in itself. Thank you, Jesus. So listen, we're going in and take a listen to Bishop G.E. Patterson after the resurrection. Yeah.
The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. Let's read the first 5 verses. If you have that, say amen. Come on and read aloud with me. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which He was taken up, after that He, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. I want to stop at this point, and I certainly want you to refer back to verse 3, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. At the 6 a.m. worship, we spoke to you about the resurrection. At 9 o'clock, we spoke about Paul preached the resurrection. Now I want to talk to you about after the resurrection. After the resurrection. It is certainly true that in John chapter 19 and verse 30, Jesus said, "It is finished." He was hanging upon the cross, and this was one of the seven last sayings of our Lord. So he really did not need to stay around after the resurrection to complete the plan of salvation. The plan of salvation was completed as Jesus hung upon the cross, and of course he was able to take a panoramic glance and a retrospective view of all of the prophecies that had been written concerning him. Prophecies concerning his birth, prophecies concerning even where he would operate as far as the headquarters of his ministry. Prophecy had determined that he would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Prophecy had determined that he would have to go down into Egypt, that it might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt have I called my son. But also Isaiah wrote something concerning the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, and that would be the way of the coast. And this would be where his headquarters would be established. So Jesus established his headquarters in Capernaum, that was in the area that Isaiah had talked about. Everything that he did during his time here upon this earth, he was always conscious of what the prophets had said about him. So consequently, as he is hanging upon the cross and all of the prophecies had been fulfilled, Isaiah had determined that a highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. And the word way, a highway, is a connecting link. So as he hung between the heavens and the earth, one hand symbolically stretched forth God, toward God, and the other hand symbolically stretched toward man, he declares that I am the way, I am the connecting link. And when Isaiah said the highway would be there, every part of it had been put in place except for the connecting link. And now I am here. I am the way. So Isaiah's highway is complete. Everything that has been spoken of me is complete, except there's one passage that said I would be given vinegar to drink. So when he saw that had not been fulfilled, he said, I thirst. And they gave him a sponge filled with vinegar. And after taking the sponge filled with vinegar, he recognized every prophecy now has been accomplished. And thus he said, it is finished. All of the prophecies. But he stayed around here after he got up out of the grave in order that many questions would not be hanging around. They had said that when Jesus arose from the grave, and the soldiers that were eyewitnesses of the resurrection, eyewitnesses of the angel that came and rolled back the stone, and when the soldiers went back to report to their superiors, they said, don't tell this. Don't let anybody hear this. But we'll give you some money to tell a lie. Say that he did not arise, but you fellas went to sleep. Now, we know that there's a penalty for going to sleep on the job. But you can tell that lie and we'll cover for you and we'll make sure that no harm comes to you. So they went on and tried to tell people that his disciples had stolen him away. But Jesus decided, I'm going to stay here for about 40 days and appear to different ones here and there so they'll know that my body was not stolen, but that in reality I really did arise. Now, he appeared to his disciples on miscellaneous occasions. It was really about 11 times all total that he appeared. There are five or six that are outstanding. He appeared to Mary Magdalene in John 20 and 15, and she thought he was the gardener. He appeared to the 10 disciples. I say 10 because Judas has already hung himself. And in this particular setting, Thomas, who is called Didymus, was not present. So in John 20, verses 19 through 24, he appeared in that upper room to 10 disciples. 8 days later, in John 20 and 26, he appeared to the 11, because on this occasion, Thomas was present. Then he appeared to two disciples on the Emmaus Road, Luke 24, verse 13. He appeared to the disciples on the bank of the sea where they had returned going back fishing. And that was in the 21st chapter of John. Matthew 28 and Mark 16 records the Great Commission where he appeared to his disciples and told them to go into all the world. And one of them said he commanded them to teach all nations. And another he said, preach the gospel to every creature. But it is both giving an account of the same appearance. Finally, here that we have just read in the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Here, it does not tell us the exact meeting, but being assembled together with them. He commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Now, that is significant in that 11 of the men whom Jesus chose were Galileans. Judas was the only Judean. The other 11 were Galileans. Judas was the only one who was a Judean. And Jerusalem was located in Judea. Now remember, Palestine, that the towns and cities in that province called Galilee, it lay to the northern part of Palestine. And then between Galilee and Judea was Samaria. And down at the south was Judea. So Jesus, well, I hope I'm not going too fast for you all. Jesus knew that these men were really Galileans. Well, why were they in Judea, in Jerusalem of Judea? Because God had already determined three times a year all of the males in Israel had to appear before the Lord in the holy city of Jerusalem. So they had come from Galilee into Judea because it was feast time. It was the feast of Passover. And Jesus, who is our Passover lamb, he couldn't die at any other season other than the season of Passover. So the Passover lamb, he had given his life. He had gone into the grave. He had gotten up that third day morning. So the business of those men of Israel was really finished in Jerusalem. It was time for them to go back home to Galilee. But Jesus said, I don't want you to leave Judea. Don't leave Jerusalem. There's something else I want you to have. Before I went to the cross, you had me. Whenever you got in trouble, Jesus would let them know that, Peter, when your taxes were due, you had me. I told you to go and catch a fish and look in his mouth, and it was enough money there to pay your taxes. Peter, when your mother was sick, your mother-in-law, when she was sick, I went to your house and touched her and healed her from a fever. When you were hungry in the wilderness, I was able to take two fish and five loaves of bread and feed the hungry multitude of 5,000 men, not counting the women of the children. Whenever you got in trouble, you had me. But I want you to know now my work on earth is done, and I've got to go back into the throne room. Now I don't want you to go back to Galilee by yourself. I told you the other night in the upper room that I would pray the Father, and he would give you another comforter. I've been your comforter. I've been your companion. I've been the one that you look to for everything. But now that I'm going away, I've been with you. But I want you to have the power of God in you. Oh, hallelujah. Where everywhere you go, you won't be able to go anywhere without being accompanied by the power and the presence of God. And you will receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you know the thing that I notice here? Jesus said, when you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to be witnesses unto me in all Judea, in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria and unto the utmost part of the world. And Jesus specifically stated that the Holy Ghost would give them power to be witnesses. Witnesses of Jesus Christ, yes. But witnesses of what particular instance in his life? Witness of the resurrection. And do you not know that most Christians, most Pentecostal Christians, we don't even know yet the real meaning for which we have the Holy Ghost? Jesus did say these signs shall follow them that believe, and one of the signs was they will speak with new tongues. On the day of Pentecost when the Holy Ghost came, they spoke with other tongues. And we of Pentecostal persuasion in the Church of God in Christ and other Pentecostal organizations, we believe that the believer, once he receives the Holy Ghost, that he speaks with tongues as an initial evidence. But the Holy Ghost does not come to make you speak with tongues. And you folks that think that because you're talking in tongues, that's all the Holy Ghost is for, I'm sorry for you. He will speak through you, but that's not why he came. Jesus sent the Holy Ghost to the disciples in order that they could be effective witnesses of the resurrection. You think about it. What makes Christianity different from other religions? There are a lot of religions that will teach you don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Don't lie. Hello, somebody. If you think Christianity is the only religion that teaches you to live a good moral life, you're wrong. There are a lot of religions that will teach you to live a good moral life. But even though they teach you to live a moral life, they don't give you the power. Hallelujah. The first chapter of John says of Jesus, he came to his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even them that believed on his name. Christianity not only teaches you how to live, but when you receive Christ, he becomes the power of the force within you that enables you to live according to his word. Oh, hallelujah. And then the other outstanding point about Christianity is after you shall have lived the Christian life on this earth, other religions, once you go down into the grave, that's it. Their philosophy, no matter how it is phrased, it simply means when you're dead, you're done. But Christianity says that when life goes out of this body, it's not the end. Jesus alone gives you the hope of everlasting life through the power of the resurrection. And you people that's trying to live and get all you can all you get, because you think all that I'm going to get, my heaven and my hell, all of it is right here, I'm sorry for you. Because this is not where it ends. The hope of the Christian is that just like Jesus mastered death, came out of that tomb, declaring all power in heaven and in earth is in my hand, and because I live, you shall live also. The same resurrection power that was in him, if you are saved, you have it living in you. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Everlasting life is not something that you will get in the grave, but it's something that you've got right now. If you are saved, you have everlasting life right now. Oh, y'all don't hear me. Praise God. So Jesus led them out as far as unto Bethany. Are you still with me in Acts chapter 1? And I'm almost finished. When they therefore were come together, I'm looking at verse 6. They asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? These men of Israel were concerned with the kingdom. The kingdom. Lord, the Jerusalem has been trodden under the feet of Gentiles. We are now under Roman occupation. Before the Romans got here, there was Alexander the Great and the Grecian Empire. Before Alexander the Great, there was the Medo-Persian kingdom. Before the Medo-Persian kingdom came, there was the Babylonian empire. Lord, we want to go back to the days, the great days when King David sat upon the throne, when we were a kingdom, when men and women came from far and near to see the holy city, to see the city of the great King. So we want to know, Master, now that you've gone to the cross, now that you have gone into the grave, now that you've come out with all power in your hand, will you at this time restore the kingdom unto Israel? But I hear Jesus saying, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And when you get the Holy Ghost, you are going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world. And all I want you to do is when you go and tell men the gospel of Jesus Christ, let them know that your Lord and Savior, that he's not somewhere dead on a Palestinian hillside, but let them know that I got up out of Joseph's new tomb and that power in the heaven and the earth is in my hand. And I want you to tell it with authority. I want you to tell it with power. I want you to tell it with conviction. And some of us, we never have any power. We never have any conviction because some of us are just dull. Some of us are just uninteresting by nature. But when you wait before God until he fills you with the Holy Ghost, woo-hoo. When you wait before God until the Holy Ghost becomes a burning in your spirit, when you start telling people about this thing, they've got to know that there's more to it than just your imagination. Don't you know that the reason churches have been full all day? People got up, some didn't even go to bed last night, made their way to sanctuaries and hilltop temples and made their way to outdoor services, and everybody wanting to celebrate the fact that Jesus is alive and well. Somebody put out a lie that he's dead. But I heard the choir sing, and if God is dead, then tell me, how do I know that he's living in my heart? Tell me, if God is dead, where did you lay his body? If God is dead, how is it that he came out and snatched defeat out of the jaws? Out of the jaws of defeat, he snatched victory out of the jaws of defeat, life out of death, victory over the grave. If he's dead, why didn't I get a telegram? Because I'm one of his children. Oh, he's not dead, but he's very much alive. And because he lives, I'm living today. I'm not serving a memory. I'm not serving a dead Jew, but I serve a risen Savior. He's in this world today. I know that he is living. Whatever men may say, I feel his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And every time I need him, he's always near. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along this narrow way. He lives. Salvation he imparts. You ask me how, I know he lives. He lives down in my heart. Hey, hey. Glory to God. When Jesus finished telling them to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, all of a sudden he lifted his hands and began to bless them. And while he was blessing them, gravitation that could hold that other body down, the body that he had before he went in the grave. But when he went in the grave, something happened to that body
when the blood was drained out on Golgotha's ugly brow, and when they wrapped him up and put him in Joseph's new tomb. According to Peter, the body was reposed in sleep, but the spirit of my God went down in the spirit world, went back into the antediluvian period, those that were alive before the flood of Noah's time, and he held a revival back there and preached to the spirits that were in prison. Hey, glory. And while the revival was going on, the clock kept on ticking, and in his spirit he knew it was the third day. Well, fellas, I got to go. The devil tried to stop him. Demons tried to catch a hold to him, but the Bible said he rendered them helpless. He made a show of them openly, and he came out of the grave with all power in his hand. Yeah! And that body came out Easter morning in a glorified state. It was a body gravitation couldn't control. So while he was blessing his disciples out there at the city of Bethany, gravitation couldn't stop him. He caught the nearest cloud and started going up. And I see two angels, my God, standing by. And the disciples were looking up. And while they were looking up, the two angels touched them and said, "Hey, you men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up in the heaven? The same Jesus that you see going up, the same Jesus that walked in Galilee, the same Jesus that taught beside the sea, the same Jesus that hung and bled on the cross, same Jesus, he's coming back again. I want to be ready." When he comes, when he comes, it's going to be like a thief and a robber by night. He that's holy, let him be holy still. He that's righteous, let him be righteous still. He that's filthy, let him be filthy still. When he comes, when he comes, I want to be caught up to meet him in the air. Yeah.
Bless you. I'm going to quit. Hey, Lord. Woo-hoo. I'm glad that this is not the end of the story. You read in the storybooks
And the heroes always keep the glory for themselves. But Jesus, if you let me paraphrase it, he'll tell you, I started out in heaven. I didn't have to go through all that. I didn't have to leave the hallelujahs of heaven. I didn't have to come down and look at how low he came. He left heaven. Somebody said if he stopped at the sun, it would have been a brighter world. If he stopped at the moon, it would have been a saner world. If he had stopped at Jupiter, it would have been a mightier world. If he stopped at Mercury, it would have been a faster moving world. By Saturn and the other planets he was not seen, and Mars had no men which he could redeem. But I'm glad that I can say, to take my feet out of the miry clay, he came all the way down to poverty, down to being despised, down into the filth of this earth, down to mingle with filthy sinners, down to be talked about, scandalized and spat on, and he went down into the earth. And then when he got up out of the grave, he didn't do anything but go back to where he started. He didn't have to do that for himself, but he did it for you and me. He became sin that we could be righteous. He became poor that we could be rich. He died that we could live. You don't hear what I'm saying? And when he came up out of the grave, he had defeated our enemy. But I heard Paul say in 1 Corinthians 15 and 57, but thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He suffered it all for you. He suffered it all for me. Hey! He got up out of the grave to let us know that death is not the end of your life. He got up out of the grave to let you know a cold, dirty grave will not be your eternal home. And I don't know about you, but when I think about it, I get excited. Something in me want to say hallelujah. Something in me want to say glory. My feet want to run when nobody's after me. Tears start flowing when I don't have nothing to cry about. Somebody, thank God that his resurrection is not the end of the story. Oh. Hey! Glory to Jesus.
Beyond what I see, you know. show me your grace. Now my life's renewed and I thank you. Yes, I thank you. So I'm telling you one who listens, I'll testify about how good you were to me when so cold friends passed me by. The fact that you would show somebody to broke down.
Resurrection, and we should be preparing to be ready so that when God returns, we are able to go back with him. Yeah, he's coming back. He's coming back. He went away, but he's coming back. And he's coming back for his church, the church without spot or wrinkle. And when I tell you, if we prepare daily, this is who we will become. Yeah, we will become his church. Again, the church without spot or wrinkle. I get excited over that right now. Because once he come back and get us, we will no longer be a part of this world, of all the ugly things that's going on, all the evil that is taking place. Yeah, and we don't have to long for it. We don't have to rush God to come back for us, because he would never leave us. Right now, he won't leave nor forsake us. He will be with us until the end. But it just gives us great joy to know that all the trials and tribulations of this old world will be over one day. It does that for us. But we're in no rush. We're in no rush because we yet have work to do. Yeah, we have work to do. Because there are many who have not received him. Many don't know them for the pardoning of their sins. And God is allowing them time and allowing us time to reach them. Yeah, through him, through his son, Jesus Christ. And we should want to become workers unto the Lord. Let me tell you something. If you work on a regular job and you really become a worker unto God, the benefits are endless. You can't top the pay, but you have to walk in the spirit to experience these things. Yeah, you have to draw closer to him and build a relationship daily with him. Because if not, we're just walking in the natural. And we're just looking at natural things. And some things look impossible. And with man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And sometimes we forget as believers, Christian, the saints of God, the people of God, we forget because in this life so much comes. It's a busy place. But the scripture says when the enemy come in like a flood, then it's God that will raise a standard for us. So it will take time not to be so busy. Because we are busy because many times we're trying to make our own way. And without him, you can't do nothing. So what you do is we're praying. Show me the way, God. Show me what to do. I remember I was designing coffee mugs. And I really enjoyed designing the mugs. And I thought this thing would continue forever. He did it for a season to bless financially. I was baking brownies. I was making cupcakes. I was baking sweet potato pies. Hadn't gotten to the pound cakes yet, but I was on my way. I thought that would be a great business that would make plenty of money because I love doing it. I enjoyed it. If you put me in a kitchen with a stove and an oven and a refrigerator, and all the ingredients I need to cook, there is no problems. And especially if I'm in there by myself. I handle dishes, pots, the preps, and everything. That's how much I enjoyed. But that's not where he left me as a cook and a baker. Yeah, he cut that off. But Jesus in the morning, he kept me here 14 years. In August, it will be 14 years. He never stopped this. He allowed me to take days off when I needed to. He would allow me a vacation several times. But he never cut this off. Why? Spiritually. It's spiritual. It's not natural. Some people say, well, I've been on my natural job 14 years. Yep, you desire to be there. Yeah, I've been there over 14 years. I'm almost to retire. Tell God thank you. He bless you to stay there. But for me, he moves spiritually. I worked for the same man off and on for 32 years. And look, not too long ago, because 2006 is not that far away. It wasn't that long ago. What, 16 years, I think. He cut it all off because I went to him and I said, Lord, I don't want to work for man no more. On the job, as long as you're using my mouth to speak your blessings and they getting it, oh, you the best thing since sliced bread. But when you speak, they got to get right with you to get upset. I said, so Lord, I don't want to do it no more. I don't want to work for man. Pushing no time clock. I only want to work for you full time. I wasn't really old enough to really get my retirement, but I retired in Jesus. Well, let's put it this way. I retired in Jesus' name. I went on. I didn't have the house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy. I didn't have the Benz, and I didn't have any of that stuff, which wasn't needed anyway. I didn't have a large bank account that would carry me if I lived to be 90. I didn't have all of that. I had Jesus and his word and his promises. And I walked according to his promises. And he fulfilled, he provided, over and over again. Ended up living in the project, government housing. And folks would say, oh, poor Barbara, why is Barbara in the project? These church folks, honey, some of these folks said they've been ordained as preachers and this and that. Ain't living nothing. Wasn't living nothing. And chased behind the prophet for a word. But if they knew God, they would have known that was my assignment. That's where he put me to work. It was a horrific place. Now, it was no joke. Violent, oh, shooting, oh, it wasn't no joke. But how many know this? I don't care what it is. If God placed you there, yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadows of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Thou art with me. So church folks being fooled, they being bamboozled, they being tricked and swindled. Because they think where God puts you to work, it's going to be some lavish a posh spot. No, no, ma'am. No, sir. He'll put you in the ghetto, as they call it. He'll put you in the low-income area. He'll put you with people that the world call ignorant. He'll put you in the area where a 16-year-old girl don't know how to count, even money. She got a $20 bill, and she don't know what that is and how much change is coming back to her when she purchased something. He'll put you in a place where women don't know how to be mothers. They just know how to be there for their child. But they don't know how to be mothers. They don't know how to train a child in no aspect, really, other than a ghetto stuff. Yeah. But that's where he assigned me. And to my surprise, the longer I stayed, the better it got out there. And to my surprise, what they thought they had in place, it had to go because the man was retiring. But he moved the natural to bring in spiritual. Because look, carnal and spiritual are always at war with each other. He brought me in. They started calling me. They started telling me stuff. Women get ready to fight, they would call me. Don't call. I don't even really know them people. What you calling me for? Miss Mack, you need to come see about this right now. I'd go down there and he would take care of it through me. The management respected me. Listen, that wasn't Barbara, that was Jesus. That wasn't Barbara, that was the Spirit of the Lord willing to move because I was willing to obey and willing to work unto him. He said, the harvest is plenteous. I'm going to get up and run in a minute. Hey, but the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send more laborers. Hey, but what are each one of us going to do about the labor he called or chose us for or called and chose us for? What are we going to do about it other than complain? What are we going to do? When we stand before him, what works are you carrying? The easy works? Where the hard work at? Them boys, Peter, oof, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Apostle Paul, they had some hard assignments. Where's yours? Because see, one thing they do in church, they'll trick you. Because you dress up, you know, and you're trying to look and act like the world and you'll miss it. Well, when you're just plain and simple down to earth yourself, because see, certain places you work, certain places you go, it make you think you ought to be something. And you ought to act this way and that way and look this way. But what I learned about God, he used that which we don't expect. Yes, he does. He don't always use the son to take over the daddy church because the daddy groomed him for it. Sometimes the son will get in there and mess up everything, scatter the flock, because they see. He didn't do what his daddy did. He's doing the opposite. Anybody remember Eli Hartline Bennett? Anybody remember his sons and what they was doing at the door of the house of God? Anybody remember that? They was taking the fat, told the people, hey, look here, don't cook mine. Bring mine raw. And don't you decide what to give me, I'll take it out. I'll take a portion of the calf, what I want. Don't bring me nothing. Going with the women and all. Anybody remember that? This is why we got to stay in the presence of God. Let him lead and guide. Yeah, stop letting people make you what they think you ought to be. Uh-uh. Lord, you made me what I am. And I want to remain what you made me. You called me to do a work, and I want to stay right there until you move me. And see, we like prestigious stuff, too. You know, we want to be known for sitting in the pulpit. We're not waving the bloodstained banner. We're not that candle that sit on a hill that can't be here. We're doing this ourselves. We're reaching out to people so we can get what they call church members. I never was a church member. I was a member of the body of Christ, but I wasn't no church member. That means I'm indebted to that building. I'm indebted to the leadership of that building. Now, I'm indebted unto God, Jesus Christ. That's who died for me, and no pastor died for me now. I love mine. Yes, I do love Bishop, and I love Jacqueline, or Jackie. But look here. Nothing comes before God today. Do y'all hear what I said? Nothing and nobody. I can't do it. Children cut the pure donkey. Bye, 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 bye. No joke, they'll tell you. Bye, 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 bye. I need my mama. Well, you better pray for one. Because as an evangelist, I'm going to do the will of him that sent me. From birth, he taught me to teach you. How you depending on a woman when you need to depend on God? I can't help you with your work. Only he can. He called you. He chose you. I'm talking about mine now. I'm talking about nobody else's. Y'all want to play around with the world and be like the world and do what the world do. And tell me about your mama. I can't save you. In the midnight hour, I can't even be at your house. I'm too busy being at mine. I've had plenty of mothers that call me, my son went to prison. They about to fall apart. How did you do it, Barbara? How did you do it? On Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. All of the ground is sinking sand. I stood on the word. He said, he's the way, the truth, and the life. Whether you live in life free or you live in life locked up, he can become your life. Your life can become hid in him. But the choice is yours. And when I would tell him before the child went to prison, because I saw him on their way to be stern and to be firm, they couldn't do it. This is my boy. What? And I'm going to tell you something, black women. You've messed up a many black men. Because he was your boy. You went to church every Sunday, just like me. Had that form of godliness and denying the power thereof. You didn't really get them children to God. What you wanted is for God to protect what you wanted him to protect concerning your child. But when you get that child of God, you let go. I don't care where you go. You let go. And trust God to take care of him. Because, see, a lot of times we interfere with God's business. God is doing something to make him become a man, to make her become a woman. But we in the way. Block it. Lord, don't let him go through that. Jesus. And another way we messed our children up is we want them to have what we didn't. I didn't want mine to have what I didn't. I wanted them to have what I had, Prince and Mary Pittman, and their teachings, and their discipleship, and their sternness and their firmness. That's what I wanted mine to have. They didn't like it because they saw too many others getting some other stuff. Games in my house, PlayStation, well, back during them days, it probably was Atari. What? Life is not about games. I'm a man. You got to get out here and do what men do, and you can't stay with me. There's a day coming you're going to want a wife, but you got to be able to provide for your wife. You may want children, which you shouldn't have, but you may want them and decide to get them, but you got to have a way to prepare and take care of them and pay for them to go to school or whatever you need them to do. But we sit back. And we spoil these kids. I'm not going to raise mine the way my mom and them raised me. Well, if they was crazy, no. If they were drug addicts, no. If they was alcohol, no. If they was addicted to some other kind of stuff, no. But you had decent Christian parents. They taught you about God. They took you to church. They didn't just send you. And they was firm and stern with you. When 6 o'clock came, you was in the house. You was at the dinner table. Y'all ain't eat in spurts and spouts. You just get a plate and just, nah, in the living room, in the bedroom, uh-uh. You ate at the dinner table. And that's the way you want your children. It teach discipline. It teach some other things. It teaches togetherness and how to keep things together. And as an adult, what you start, you finish it so your children can get that pattern. Unless God can change it, turn it around, send you in another direction, but it's still going to end up right. But we spoil these kids, and then when they turn out bad, you want to cry. Yeah. Let me tell you something. The Lord told me and showed me. And I call these people to be to share my testimony so they'll know. Oh, honey, they gave me up the country and down the country. They thought I was the worst mama in the world. Oh, Lordy. She just abusive to her kids. Oh, she don't care nothing about her. Yes, I did. That's why I stood firm, stood my ground. I don't pay nobody child support today. We tell God thank you. No grown person who's not come to take care of me is living in my house. And I'm taking care of them. They got to use my car because they don't own one. The way I'm being taken care of is I'm being taken care of by my daughter. She didn't just come home because she didn't have nowhere to leave her. What? They tell me the place because I hadn't been to her new place. They said it was so nice, it was pathetic. Clean. She come home to take care of her mother. I'm getting older. I don't drive at night. And I love every minute. Every minute of it. My sons, they take care of their own family. If any got to pay child support, I don't know about it because they paying their own child support. I had one son paid so much, they cut him off. Hey, you got to wait till it catch up again. Had another one, he was paying like $2,100 a week. He didn't want no problems. But you got to make them stand up to be men and not boys. And then sometimes they still go out there and act crazy because they feel spoiled. Men, growing up to be men and they still want to act like little boys. I want to treat the wife like she her, they mama. Now, treat her like a wife. She's you and you her. So you going to have her acting like a little girl because you're a little boy? That's not the way. But he rose so we could have strength to do what we need to do. He rose so we could walk in faith, truly believing and truly trusting God. The proof is going to be in the pudding, as they say. The evidence going to show itself through you. But now, if you got a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, you honoring God, but you live far from it, you don't really trust God, but so far, you don't believe God unless he show you. Now, that's our faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't see no way. You don't see how God doing it. You just believe he's doing it. I just wrote one of the prison pen pals and told him the same thing. Because he said this and that and this about God and all that. I said, let me tell you something. His word won't return void. I know there's a day you fully come into him because he sent me. He got patience and I have patience. My job is to encourage you in Jesus. The rest is on you. It's your faith that's going to make you whole. I said, you sitting in prison because you want to be there. Otherwise, you would trust God and believe that God would turn a key and open a door and let you out of there. But he's not going to do it if you don't believe. He can't do it because you don't believe. And then coming out of there, you're not believing to walk in him and to obey him and to work in the vineyard. You want him to turn your key so you can come out of there and do what you used to do. Smoke dope, shoot dope. Whatever you was doing, sell dope, or whatever you was doing, robbing, killing, that's not him. He's not going to do that. But if you're a new creature in him, and you asking him to grow you daily in him, and you're preparing the best that you can, and in your preparation, we getting what should be, what should not be in us, out of us. See, we used to be quick to talk and slow to hear. But now we quick to hear and slow to speak. That's what we are. We now working on, we don't gossip. We don't judge. We don't lie. We don't cheat. We don't steal. We don't gossip. What we're doing now is we're working on these things that will cause us to reflect Jesus. Yeah, we don't talk crazy to people. We don't talk crazy about people. We're not name calling. We're not doing any of that. We're working on this thing. And as we're going to and from our, to and fro during our day, we're keeping our mind on him. Not only will he keep us in perfect peace, but he's leading and guiding us in the right direction. But we got to get serious about this thing. We can't have that form of godliness. We can't honor God with his lips and our heart be far from it. He rose so we can do all of this. He conquered all so we could defeat the enemy. We can defeat any evil spirit that come our way. He said we were going to do greater things. We can stop them demons in our house. Shut up. I remember witnessing to a spiritual son one night, and he was just a talking trash drunk and a this and a that, and I'm going to tell you, I said, shut up. And I really wasn't talking to him, but I was talking to that spirit that used him. He shut up. At first, he just, I said, shut up. You still talking. He got complete quiet. Why? I wasn't talking to him. I was talking to that spirit. He never would have talked to me that way. But it was that spirit using him. And I know people don't believe when they overindulge in alcohol, them spirits. If you look, they changed our liquor stores from Jack's Liquor to ABC's. But even on Jack's Liquor, it said wine and spirits. That liquor changed you, honey. You become someone else. And they taught me, a drunk man speak with a sober man tongue. That's what he wanted to say when he was sober. But he didn't have the courage. So when he got that false God in him, then he could say it. Or she. Generic term, man or woman. But God is faithful. Even in all of that, I don't care what you used to be. You're not that today. So when people talk about drug addicted, alcohol addicted, or this, that, they're not talking about you. You're no longer that. They put EX for X. That's what you used to be, but you're no longer that. And the only way you thinking you that is when you go back in your past to see where God brought you from. You got a testimony. And no time to wallow in foolishness. That's foolishness. Yesterday's gone. You can't undo what was done. We have today to improve because tomorrow is not promised to us. Yeah, and we want to be real in this life. Too much fakeness. I can't work on nobody's job, all that fake foolishness. They will grab me by a strand of my hair and throw me out the front door and kick me while I'm going. What? Because I put that realness to them. And how many know people don't like the truth? And people don't want what's real. They want what's fake. You will have more people in fake churches than you ever will in the house of prayer. Mm-hmm. So they're not going for what's right. They're not going for to give God their all and to change their life and to give it to him. They're going so they feel better. They're going to get something from him. They're not going to come in and bring him nothing. When I came to the Lord, I had to have a well-made-up mind. And guess who gave it to me? I used to think I gave it. I had a well-made-up mind. The Lord showed me, hello? Sister Barbara, because of me, you had a well-made-up. You didn't just wake up with a well-made-up mind, Sister Barbara. See, he will show you you. Oh, yes, he will show you you. I told you, even with the husband, I was ex-husband. I was right here accusing of the dude and he wasn't this. And the Lord knocked on my door one day, and when I opened it, he showed me. And you wasn't either. You're accusing. What about your part in it? You see? But we got to be real with him, and we can be real with ourselves. I tell my testimony. Yeah, I've been to prison, lost my children, foster care, sold dope. I tell it all. And sometimes I'm telling it, and I feel so good about it. I dance a little bit, see, on. Guess what? I'm free. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. That was the old creature. I'm a new creature in Christ today. Old things passed away. I don't want to cheat nobody, steal from nobody, rob nobody, and nothing, not dope selling. No, that's for somebody else. Prison, I done barged in on them. They didn't send me no invitation. I went on my own and make a difference when you're invited. They treat you different when you're invited. But when you just barge in, you know, impose on people, you don't get that good, wholesome treatment. Now, I don't want no more of that. I prayed about that thing. I said, Lord, I'm getting older. I don't want no old age stuff. And he blessed me. Yeah, he blessed me. Not only did he hear the prayer, but he answered it. And look here, today I don't even write checks. They gave me debit cards. Huh? I use a debit card. I don't do no checks. Now, if you send me one, I will cash it. But I will not send you a check. We're going to have to find some other form of payment. Yeah, and it won't be a check. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, I thank him today because he's real. Yeah, he is. We just got to be real with him. We can go to him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the makeover. Ooh, thank you for the new creature in you. Thank you, Lord, for being born again. Hallelujah. You rose for all of this for me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, I can't thank him enough. We can go to him with anything. He's no respecter of persons. He don't pick and choose. You can go to him anytime with anything. Just be real with him. That's the only way I know to be with him is to be real. Even if I told a lie, I got to tell him. He already know. He already, if I'm gossiping, I got to tell him. He already know. If there's unforgiveness in my heart for anybody, he will show me, and I got to still go to him. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I couldn't help myself. That was a praise moment right there. Oh, if ever that was a praise moment, thinking back on where he brought me from. Hey, glory. That was a praise moment there. Yeah, because he brought me out of darkness into this marvelous light. I've been set free. I was in bondage to sin. Yeah, I was doing what the world was doing. And then away was afraid not to do it because I wouldn't look like they look. Many in that situation. My children been in that situation. Woo, but he blessed me to be a leader and not a follower. Because he had work for me to do. I would have been dead and gone, but I lived and not died to declare the works of the Lord. Do you hear what I'm telling you this morning? He's on all of our side in spite of us. He works the impossible when we believe. He works the impossible when we trust him. Sometimes we don't even trust him. Sometimes we just going, but he sees. He stepped right in and he fixed it. And that's love. That's love right there. Many days I was losing the battle. Couldn't even think. He come in and he fixed it. Why was that, Barbara? He knew the very intent of my heart. Let's give God some credit. Let's sell out to him with our whole heart. Let's cut man out the deal. Let's stop looking at the world and what people may think of us. Let's always and more consider God and what he thinks. Because this is the one, not only can he destroy the body, but he can destroy the soul. Huh? This is the one that in the midnight hour, he's going to be there for you. You called out to him, he called back. David said, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard my cry. Sometimes we got to cry out. You have doing it because you're still trying to work it out yourself. Now I'm going to turn it all over to him and cry to him and let him fix it. And while I'm waiting on him to fix it, I'm looking around for somebody I can help. I may not have a lot of money to give, but I may be able to give you a ride. I may be able to take you to a doctor's appointment. I may be able to, you know, cook and bring you a plate of food, do something. And while I'm doing that, when I look around, he done completed my stuff. Yeah. Ha! He's that kind of God. He's on our side. I tell you, in spite of us, we deserve death. But look what he keep doing. He keep blessing you to make it to work every day. He keep blessing you to pay the bill to keep the roof over your head. He keep blessing you that your water on, you're not thirsty. He keep holding the sun back from the earth and the moon back from the earth and the water back from the earth. Look what he keep doing, changing the seasons. We don't give him nothing. Lord, I want. That's all we got. Lord, give me. Give me more you. Strengthen me, oh God, while you give me more you. Teach me your ways. Strengthen me, God, that I don't do the things that are not pleasing and acceptable unto you. When I tell you he needs to be first in our lives. Mm-mm. I can't put no man, no children. He must be first in my life. And he must get the first fruit of everything. Yeah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. He loves a cheerful giver. We must be given because it pleases him. And pray before you give. Make sure that's him got you giving here. Yeah. Make sure God have you giving that. And you tell him, Lord, you love a cheerful giver. Lead and guide me in my giving in the name of Jesus. Let me give what pleases you. Let me give what you can accept. Because, see, he's going to pay you back. The poor will always be with us. And when you give to the poor, you lending unto him, and he won't owe you, or he's going to pay you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. I didn't mean to go that far this morning. I was going to open the studio. But God is faithful. And he's an on-time God every time. Yeah. Faithful. Ooh, we. I'm talking about faithful. Faith. You've never known anyone that faithful. Yeah, I know some people open the same time and do the same thing, honey, but they are not as faithful. Because they just got that door they opening and sit in that chair on the job. But honey, he all over. He in every country. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's all over the world for each and every individual. Faithful, faithful every morning. He don't forget me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, I need to go to this one quick one right here. And when we come back, we'll come back praying. And we'll pray out today. And we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. Those of you that tune in from LinkedIn, God bless you today. Thank you so much. And I thank you for every like, every love over there, every word over there. God bless you this morning.
You.
fresh anointing. Holy Spirit, fall upon me. Yeah, Lord. I want to obey you. I want my living not to be in vain. I want what I say to be encouraging to others. I want it to be a blessing to others. I want it to reflect him in me. Hallelujah. Ah, yeah. Quick to hear, slow to speak. Oh, real slow to anger. Real, real slow to wrath. Hallelujah. Don't let the sun go down upon my wrath. Ah, yeah, it's okay today in Jesus' name. He's working it out for us. Yeah. And look, today, if we can remember, give him some praise here. If you haven't already, because when songs come on, I want us to learn to praise and worship God. Not just a song we are listening to. But as we hear the words, let us rejoice in him. Let us praise him. Let us worship him. Hallelujah. For he's more than worthy because he's a more than God. Tell me he don't give us more than we need. Oh, thank you today. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. So we're grateful this morning again unto him. We're thankful. And I tell you, when that praise go up, the blessings of the Lord is coming down. And I know he blessed me this morning for the praise. I couldn't help myself. Yeah. Even while she was singing, Spirit of the Living God, I felt the Spirit of the Lord come. Yeah. And I couldn't help myself but tell him thank you. Yeah, Lord, I love you today. Oh, I'm grateful unto you. I thank you, His Majesty. Hallelujah. Oh, I bless you for your word today, God. Yeah, all of that kind of carrying on. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Hey, a light unto my path. Get me in there. Let me start praising. Ooh, wee. Yeah, they have to cut it off, y'all, because I could go on with it now. Yeah, he's been good to me. And again, I tell you, he's faithful. He is faithful, but we got to get real with him, and then we'll see that he's been real with us the whole time. Yeah, he's not a fake God. He's real. Yeah, and ask him for what you want today. Whatever it is you desire, whatever it is you want, ask God for it, and it's already all right this morning. In the precious name of Jesus. Good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman, down in the house again. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we prayed for you. And your son-in-law sent me a message and asked me to pray for you. He said you weren't feeling well, so he wanted to make sure prayer was in order for his mother-in-law. Let me tell y'all something. Them two there, don't fool with them two. Yeah, they love each other. Uh-huh. She thinks the world of her son-in-law, and he thinks the world of his mother-in-law. Yeah. So it's all right today in Jesus' name. And I know CR just sit back and say, well, okay, then y'all go ahead with it. And it's all right today. That's a beautiful thing. You don't find that a lot. Yeah, I got a daughter-in-law. I call her the world's greatest daughter-in-law. And I mean that thing. I mean that about her. She has blessed me. Yeah, the mother of my grandchildren. Yeah. Kevin, Kalia, and Kalila. And so I can't help it. And she always looking out for me. Hey, this and that and that and that. I went down there. She picked me out a beautiful outfit and the matching shoes from the, I forgot the name of the store. But anyway, it's a nice outfit. I didn't wear it yet. So I plan when I go back down there to Orlando, I'm going to wear my outfit with my shoes and show her what I'm working with. Yeah. And she'll be like, oh, I remember that. She bought it. Your good daughter-in-law. They're hard to come by. And them kind there, you treat them like daughters. And she loves sitting to the table talking to me. Oh, she just, that just make her day. And I sit there with her sister. Me and her sister, we all right, too. We good and tight. Because we both like that laugh. Yeah, these are the blessings of Almighty God. These are not the blessings of Barbara. I can't say I was such a great mother-in-law. And honey, I did it this way and that way. And she couldn't have. Nobody but you, Lord. Nobody but you. I can't take his glory today. Hallelujah. See how I feel all right now. I'm going to let you know something in a little while here, sugar. And it's already all right today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, God. All right, we're going to pray out this morning early And we pray the Lord again bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And again today, those that are coming through LinkedIn, thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. If you come through Facebook, thank you so much. God bless you. Instagram, thank you so much. God bless you. Now, I'm no longer doing Twitter, but Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, yeah, I thank God for you. And look, I'm telling you, that LinkedIn thing, 400 and something last week. So we tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. He's a way maker. Yeah. And people, I'm seeing people, many want to hear the truth. Now, it's a lot don't like it, but many want the truth. And somebody said this remind them of that old-fashioned way. Yeah, the church of old. Uh-huh. Because God don't change. Neither does his word. He was that way yesterday, so was his word. He's that way today, and he will be that way forevermore, him and his word. Yeah, and so we thank him. Let's pray out. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning for all that has been said and done. Hold on 1 minute, y'all. We're coming back to prayer. We're coming back to prayer. Yeah, obedience is better than sacrifice. Good morning, 267, first three number 968. God bless you this morning. I know that's a Philadelphia area code. I know it. Laura and Sister Samoa, I know that area code. Good morning to you, Pastor David. God bless you this morning. And a good morning to you, Sister Rita. Good morning to you, Sister Irene. Good morning to you. Happy to have you back, Dr. Goodman. Good morning. God bless you. And a good morning to you, Sister Sion. And good morning to you, Sister Rose Brown. My wiki, wiki, wiki. Good morning to you all the way from Orange Park. yeah. Yeah, we'll talk soon, wiki. We're going to talk soon because, yeah, you don't call me and I don't call you. So we're going to start that back. And it's already all right in Jesus' name. All right, let's pray out. Father, we thank you. Thank you for each and every caller, God. Each and every one that come through the archives and the podcast. Lord, they don't have to do it. But God, you move, and people are seeking you. And Lord, they want the real thing. They don't want nothing fake. And Lord, many want the truth, and they won't turn away from it. But God, I ask that you would move for these your people in the name of Jesus. The faithful few, as I call them, they come faithfully every morning. They hear what the Spirit have to say to them, the church. Move today in a mighty way. Bless financially, God, today. These your people. Surprise them with a surprise, uncommon miracle in finances today. Money answers all things in the name of Jesus. And Father, money makes us happy. Money makes us glad. We want money, big, big money. Nobody mad but the devil. But God, you are the way, the truth, and the life. We know that you can open doors and make ways. We thank you this morning. And Father, remind us when you give to us, to give to others. Don't let us sit back on the money. And God, don't let us just sit back and just think everything is for free and we going to get the blessings, the free blessings. Now, Lord, remind us to be cheerful givers in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning. Hallelujah. And Lord, especially me, help me to give more, oh God, in the name of Jesus. All you love a cheerful giver. Help me to clean my closets out, my shoe closets. God, help me today to give. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you. And Father, as we depart this morning, we ask, Lord, that you would lead and guide us in the right path the rest of this day. We ask that, Father, you would send your special blessings upon us, that we will talk of your wondrous works and make known your deeds among the people. Strengthen us, O God, and help us to keep our mind on you. Help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Help us to delight ourselves in you. Help us to hold up the bloodstained banner. And Lord, strengthen us to be the candidates sit on the hill that can't be here this day. In the precious name of Jesus. Bless Sister Dorothy Goodman, touch and heal her body. God, bring her better than she's ever been. Give her spiritual energy and physical energy. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we know you're able. You took a beating for the healing of the nation. I'll do it for Dr. Day again, Father, in Jesus' name. Touch and heal, Sister Irene, God. Make her brand new. Lord, make her over again in the name of Jesus. We know you hear all manner of sickness and disease. And Father, there's nothing too hard for you to do. And many times people think I just randomly pick them out. But God, it's you that lead and guide. And as you lead and guide, I always want to follow and obey. In the precious name of Jesus, every caller and every listener, every family member near and far, blessed today as only you can do. And Father, we ask that as we lift you up today, that you would draw all men unto you. We just want to lift you up, oh God. And Lord, your promises are yea and amen. Oh, we thank you. We thank you. Bless our going out this morning. And Father, bless our coming in. Again, meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. And Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today. In Jesus' name, amen. And look, this is our last little song of the morning. I'm going to play it right quick. Well, where did he go? Wait a minute, y'all. Okay, right here.
Oh,
reach out for him, he'll be there.